Detroit News, Lions beat writer Justin Rogers. Whenever I'm bored out of my mind and I've hit the end of the internet and I've got just nothing else to do, I listen to Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 288. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, brother? Been a bit?
Yeah, way better. And I apologize for missing last week, but I had a little case of food poisoning. And things didn't go very well. But I would say that after week two, the Lions were the only ones who were crap in the bed. So
that's... in today's show, we're going to talk about the Lions and Cardinals upon further review. We'll also do the Decemberometer like we usually do. We'll look ahead to the Lions and the Saints. We'll take you around the division and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
I'm ready to roll, just keeping my bowels clenched.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple quick announcements before we get started here. Check us out, help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
WOM.
Woo, that's right. Of course, Dylan. And of course, our very first donor, Mathis. Also going to be a big old shout out to Maddie K in the Patreon. Thanks for being part of the crew there, buddy. Brian Burkheiser, I Prevail, IPrevailBand.com. All those folks hang out together. We all hang out together. All of us. There's like, if I look right now, we have 267 people hanging out where? In the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet, on our Slack chat. How do you get access to that? How do you become one of the special 200? How do you become number 268? That's what you're asking yourself right now. I know it. I can see it in your eyes. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. That's patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Subscribe. It's a donation little platform. You can give us as little as $1 a month and get access. You can give us $100 a month and get access. You can give $1 million a month and get access. It's great. We encourage you to give more, but $1 gets you in and gets you, like I said, access to the most intelligent chat on the internet. Period. It's the greatest place. What a great community it's become. Check in there. Do that. Join us on Patreon. That helps us pay for all the crazy stuff we do. Also, give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. On Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast. And on Twitter, at DET Lions Podcast. Go and follow us right now. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Case.
With no pants on.
That's right. I'm gonna hit that cough button because that was a big bad burp. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Go hit that subscribe button, the notification bell, so you know what's going on. We've started putting some clips together for you guys. We're working some things out so that you don't get nailed with notifications every time the clips go, but they're gonna be highlights of the show. We'll be able to put those out there for you guys so you can refer to them in the future or get the most salient important chunks of the show in digestible little bits. Even Case used it on the post game show, so some good stuff. We're doing that for you guys, for you. All right, yeah, check us out. Subscribe on YouTube, and that is youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Also, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you find us. Pandora, I don't know, Amazon. I think we're on Amazon now, too, their podcast thing. Give us those 5 stars. We thank you so much when you do that. That is the most meaningful thing to us. It does mean a very, very, very lot. If you can't find yourself giving us 5 stars, hit us up in the subreddit. We're happy to talk about it and figure out. I had some great conversations this week, and I know one of them actually did result in a 5-star review. So good stuff. Give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. Detroit Lions Podcast is the Skype account. Or you can hit us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
So I'm talking about the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit, and the first segment we'll call Upon Further Review. There's a visual for our non YouTube watchers here. All right, let's do a review of the Lions, or an upon the review of the Lions and Cardinals game. Got to do a second watch. Case, I know you got to spend some extra time with it. Let's just start off with the defense, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, cool. I just make sure your pants weren't full yet. All right, we'll start off with Jeffrey Okuda, number 3 overall draft pick. How can you not start out talking about him, right? His game as a rookie, again, against one of the top in the league. This guy, look, the Lions themselves are running a gauntlet the first game, 4 games of the season, right?
Yeah,
as of sure. We'll talk about this more later. Our opponents right now, including Arizona after this win we got over them, our opponents are currently 8-1. 8-1 are the opponents that we played. All right. You'll see that those 3-0 Bears have played a much, much worse schedule at this point than we have. We've got a great schedule coming up. We'll also talk about that. But it's a gauntlet. You think of yourself as a rookie cornerback, one of the most difficult positions in the NFL to play, with the most athletic players absolutely playing that position. You come in as a rookie, you don't get any mini camps, you don't get any OTAs, you don't get any preseason games, you don't get anything. You're on the field after a first week injury, you're on the field against Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Then DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, obvious 1 and 2 in the league as far as wide receivers. And then you put the guys. It's not like these guys have quarterbacks that are like, you know, it's not like, I don't know, Garvin, what's his name? Minshew.
Minshew.
Yeah, like Minshew's throwing at him, right? This is Aaron Rodgers and Kyler Murray throwing at these guys. What a test for a rookie. And I got to say, again, still upon further review, Jeffrey Okuda did a spectacular job out there for a rook.
Yeah, and I definitely think we're seeing improvement. Like you said, he's had, you know, an extremely difficult path so far this year. PFF still doesn't love him, which that's okay. Those kind of numbers will come with consistency, but he did show the ability to make some plays against, you know, one of the best receiver. And obviously, he did an excellent job on the turnover, which we needed those turnovers in this game. So I was very happy to see him get that out of the way too. We obviously have had a history of cornerbacks who struggled to actually turn the ball over. To see him get one in only his second game is, you know, that's a very positive sign for us, I think, going forward.
And I just need to give a quick one for these for me. On the Friday show, I predicted Jeff Okuda's first interception in this game. I was right, and I thought, and we needed it. I said we actually needed it in order to win, and I was also. I won't put on it again, but I was right. It ain't no
the bullshit.
No, it ain't. So it's good stuff. Love to see him out here, out there. He's looking good. He's growing fast. He did a lot of good work. Arawarie, very quietly, killing it out there.
Yeah, I think for sure that he is going to be a very solid number 2 for us. Number 2 cornerback for us for quite a while. I think we've watched his progression solidly from last year and into this year. It's just continuing. So I'm quite happy with him. I don't know that we ever want him to be our full-time number 1, but he's perfectly capable at bringing problems for less than, you know, the top elite tier wide receivers.
So. I gotta tell you, I think he's gonna be it's a 1A, 1AB, 1A, 1B situation here next year as these guys get up. It's really something. Our Warrior is not a guy to sleep on. These two guys together next year, especially in this scheme, holy cow, all of a sudden you look like you're gonna have the corners that this scheme really needs in order to be the scheme that it's supposed to be. We'll see what happens, right? We'll see if they get a chance to do that. Also had to shout out Jamie Collins, the highest PFF grade at his position. That was posted in the sub by IQ Raider Man. That's not a bad deal, right? Number 1 overall. First, you head butt a ref. You not get knocked out week 1. That maybe wasn't the best move. Redeem yourself week 3, the highest grade. Feeling good? Yeah. He looking good out there?
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's well, and I think it was Jamie Collins that I heard had talked after the game about, you know, what they had done in preparation for this game, and that they had specifically looked for the tipped pass drill to be a thing, because mm-hmm. Kyler Murray's only 5'9", He's thrown over tall linemen. That's going to create some of those situations. And that's not a knock on Kyler Murray necessarily, but it's just more likely to happen. And if you know going in that that is specifically what you are waiting for, and obviously Collins and Harmon were both waiting for that, you're going to reap the dividends.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, Harmon's INT was beautiful. It was great. This was a team game. The team showed up for this game and they played so well as a team. I really, really, really loved it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it had to have been one of the better defensive performances we've seen, over the last few years.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect, but they certainly did plenty to, put the team in position to win. And obviously that's what they did and we did. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it was across the board, right? It was special teams. It was offense. It was defense. And we just start off with defense here. There'll be a lot more to talk about, but it was just a well-played game. And as Sammy and I alluded to last Sunday, after the Sunday game, or after the game on Sunday, that's what I'm trying to say, it's probably the best full team performance turned in since we beat the Patriots way, way back that wonderful week three. It was well done. So Raging Buffalo put something up in the subreddit, and I need to grab a hold of it because it was a good one. It was a good one. Go ahead.
Sorry. In the subreddit, there was and somebody in the YouTube chat mentioned it, and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but somebody from BF Breakdowns, which I'm not familiar with, but I will try to get familiar with, had posted they did a thorough study of Okuda's performance in Arizona and why, I think my impression is that gets a little bit of the more positive bent of things than the negative, although I'm sure that hopefully they do kind of a balanced and take a look at the things that didn't go so well for him too. But they go into detail, it sounds like, about what to be excited for about his potential.
Yeah,
so
I haven't had a chance
to see it. Yeah, I just got home. So
I heard they get into the X's and O's a little bit and do a good job of breaking it down. So it's a good look. Like I said, I haven't seen it.
So go check it out.
I had to get the game in and then the whole, the people that pay me the real money so I can do this. There you go. All right. I want to talk a little bit about the defensive changes. There has been this massive, as we've heard, the burned down Allen Park kind of run of we run only man coverage. Let's switch it up a little bit. And I got some information here I want to share. So let me run through this really quick, Case, and get your reaction. Some people asked, and per ESPN stats and information, Lions played a lot more zone in week three than in the first 2 weeks. So man defense week one was 82, 81, and then 55%.
Which is way highest in the league.
Yep, absolutely. 82, 81, and 55 man defense for weeks one, two, and three. Zone defense, 17%, which was 17.9. So it's 18%, 18%. And week three, the jump for Kyler to 44.5%. Big, big, significant change. Two of their three interceptions, though, did come in man. Just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. And it allowed 63% of the completions. So there you go.
Well, and I think that Patricia would rather run a man scheme most of the time. And that's, the players he's tried to put in were, man-specific type players. But if you're not flexible with it, if you don't try, other looks and try other things. So, I mean, this was kind of eye opening, for the coaching staff as well to see that that can work as long as you guys know when you're using it. That it doesn't have to be strictly man coverage all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I gotta rephrase 63% coverage or completion rate against the Lions when they were in man, just so you know. Now, they got one interception and there was a 73% completion rate when they were in zone, but the fact remains that switching it up makes it more difficult on the offense to be able to put their plays together. So a little bit of information about that. It was a complaint. It changed. I like to see that change. I don't know why they stayed man so much in weeks one and two. I don't know if they overcommitted on what was an important part of defense this year. Man coverage was supposed to be really, really big this year. The Lions just took it to the extreme, I think. I don't know if that was Patricia's plan or scheme or what. I can't see inside his head, but the adjustment this week really, really seemed to work. I would expect to see a similar kind of adjustment up against the Saints this coming week. Do you agree?
Yeah. We have a task on our hands this week to stop that offense, even if Michael Thomas doesn't play, but it sounds like he probably will. The guy that scares me the most is Kamara out of the backfield, because he just chops people up when they get him in space. And that frightens me because of our history. You know, we haven't always been the greatest against covering running backs. Our linebackers are suspect at times, but I'm hoping that we're able to use, you know, the PFF loves Jamie Collins train and have him take care of that for us in a big way, and hopefully limit the amount of damage that Kamara is going to do to us.
Yep. Yep.
Make Breeze have to do vintage Breeze things, because I don't know that he has the arm strength to do it.
No. That's part of it. His passes have been real short. And they've relied on a lot of that running game to get them going. They're not your grandpa's New Orleans Saints. So we'll have to see. Thomas coming back does make it a little more difficult. Without him, they've had a pair of pretty difficult weeks. So we'll see. We'll see who we get. We have him at home, so that's kind of nice. Not that there's a huge home field advantage these days, but it's just always nice not to have to travel and so on for you guys. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's see. I want to really quick hit CBD. If you are checking out a way to make yourself feel a little better after workout, if you're not getting the sleep you need, look at Case's face. That is a man who's a zombie right now. He started working at 5 a.m. today.
Yeah, it's a 10-hour day. So
you could do that, or you could take the CBD. Or if you've just got any kind of pain, just got in the Slack chat yesterday, just got a big shout out to the CBD cream. Guy was using it on his back. He's had back pain for a long time. He used it, and it was like amazing. It went completely away, and it was like he'd never used it. I keep checking in with folks that I know as listeners, or that I keep in touch with, as to how it's working for them. I have really, really, really good reviews. My reviews, I'm telling you, it's 100%. We wouldn't be doing this if they weren't real. That's the thing. We want to bring you guys value. So check it out at cbd.detroitlionspodcast. If you're looking for some of that pain relief, the help with sleep, the whole thing, get the products. Got this new one. This is their Delta 8 line. You'll find it under like Chill. This is like super potent stuff. I've had their other stuff and it was fine. This stuff, as you see, it comes with a warning label on it saying, don't use heavy machinery. The whole deal. It's pretty potent. I, you know, like I said, I try this stuff out, make sure it works before I say anything about it. And I had a nice long relax when I just one of the gummies. They say 1 to 2. And those little squares in there, I haven't gone to 2 yet. I'm happy. I'm good. Just totally chill and sleep like a baby. Good stuff. All right. So there you go. Check it out. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast. Get your fill. Get yourself set up. It's Diamond CBD. Great, great stuff. I think they got a 55% sale going right now. So check it out. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We get a cut of that as you know, and that helps the show go, but we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't good stuff. All right. Let's get into the Lions offense. Lions offense. I want to start with Matthew Stafford. I would prescribe some CBD for him. And some might say, no, he's too chill. But Matthew Stafford in that game, I'll tell you, at first look, was a guy who knew what he wanted to do, knew what he had to do, but his body wasn't doing what he's used to it doing. That's the Matthew Stafford that I saw there. Great thing that Kenny Galladay is used to catching passes that aren't necessarily on target. He's definitely was a needed person for this win. Then he goes and throws this massive dime to Hall, right? Sets it in there perfectly, beautifully. I'm not real big on that hold on Vitae. I get it, but I'm like, whatever. Did would it, Would they have had, well, yeah, would that have changed the game that if it wasn't called back? No, it's, I mean, it's, our defense was looking great at that point. Historically, you're terrified because you're a Lions fan, but it, right, it doesn't mean anything. What do you think about Stafford overall? Let's start with Stafford. When we talk about the offense, you have to start with your quarterback. To me, it's either he hasn't shaken the rust or his body just isn't doing what he wants it to, and maybe there's something lingering. What do you think?
I would tend to lean more towards it being rust at this point until it's, you know, halfway through the season and we're still struggling. That said, I mean, he had almost a 70% completion, you know, percentage. That's not bad. No. He only had the two passes where I was really, you know, where I really thought he was off target and he was trying to force something to the back of the end zone to the tight ends, who, shout out to the tight ends. They had a solid game.
Jesse James showed up, my friend.
Yeah, I know he did.
Come on, you got to give him credit.
Pew, 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 pew.
You got to do that, Jesse. Yeah. He's 70 Sam.
Yeah. But no, I, you know, maybe he hasn't been perfect, but when has he? Okay, so are we basing saying that he hasn't been, you know, up to snuff purely based on the performance he was giving us last year? Because, I mean, the performance he was giving us last year was far and away, you know, I shouldn't necessarily say far and away, but it was his best he'd ever played.
No.
So the year before last. Is he not quite?
Last year was his worst he ever played, right?
No, last year before he went out, he was killing it.
Oh, wait, are we still talking about Jesse James?
No, I was talking about Stafford.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
We changed topic. Okay, so Stafford was just killing it, you know, last year. And so if that's the only criteria that we're basing this season off of, then yeah, sure, he's not quite up to snuff.
That's the standard, my friend.
But I mean, he set a new standard last year, and I think, you know, it's fair to want him to play up to that, absolutely. But I also think it's worth noting that, you know, that wasn't necessarily always going to be the way he played, you know.
Yeah, no. He was robbed through injury of what absolutely would have been, had a chance of being a record-breaking year for him, right? Yeah. And now the inability to do any preseason work and kind of taking some extra, you know, games to get ready, he could return to form. It's just the problem is he's so key for us. He is such. Everything on that offense really, really revolves around him. And one of the things I said in the Friday show was it relies on Stafford showing up and being the Matthew Stafford we know for us to beat the Cardinals. He definitely showed up, right? Better than he did in the first two games. I mean, it's a steady improvement, but you get great Matthew Stafford in there. You know, you get last year's Matthew Stafford in there, and we win by 10, 12, 14 points, I think.
Yeah. The one area where this isn't just Stafford, although, like I mentioned, he did have those two overthrows in the end zone, but they just struggle so much down deep in the opposing team's territory. Almost every single drive stalls there. And it's a good thing that we have Matt Prater because, you know, he's awesome, but I can't figure out personally. I haven't figured out yet what it is that's going wrong in the red zone, because we have some big bodies. We have those tight ends. We have Kenny Galladay back.
Yeah.
And Marvin Jones is great at those contested catches. Why are we struggling so much about, you know, just getting those 7 points instead of three?
I don't know.
I'll keep looking at it as the year progresses and see if I can't come up with some theories for us anyway, but.
Ooh, I like a good theory. So that's definitely been a problem, the stall. Let me talk a little bit. There's been a lot of conversation about the play mix, right? A lot of people talking run, run, pass. You got to stop the run, pass. And Troll Season from the subreddit went, and he did some work. He put a bunch of stuff together. And I want to just really quick kind of go through what he put out there. There's some good info, and this is again from the Slack. This is work that Ash put in. I'm going to quote Ash's work twice in today's show because he's so great. He did a run on it, and Troll Season did a run on it, but we did a little further work before Troll did it in the subreddit, and maybe Ash should have probably posted it, but anyway, here it is. On first down, it's an even split between run and pass. okay, from the Detroit Lions. The run-pass run-run-pass narrative is false, right? This whole 2-1 split. The Lions have thrown the ball 32 times in second down, and they've run it 20 times on second down. So that's 3-2 throw versus run. Inside the red zone, it's a 17-16 ratio in the play calls. Also talks against it, though we didn't have the splits in the, by in the red zone down. So we didn't have we weren't able to break those out. With a lead, the Lions have run the ball 33 times and passed 32, which is a higher ratio than when they're tied or leading. But again, it doesn't match the run-run-pass narrative at all. So let's look at the Chiefs. Let's put an example out there of the Kansas City Chiefs. The lead, they have 18 rushing and 14 passing splits. Okay, on first down, 29 runs, 33 passes. On second down, 16 runs to 27 passes. Significantly more passing, but they've also been trailing more. Okay, now if you go across the league, you're going to go 1,100, I'm going to go to it this way, 14-19 run, 13-98 pass, second down 854 to 745, and red zone 490 to 451. With the lead, it's 1046 to 1,009 run to pass. So basically what you got when you look at those numbers, and you're going to have to go through those because I know I went through them once and I had to spend a whole bunch of time like knocking these things out. Bevel's been thrown at a higher rate on second down than the league average. So just right off the top, you know, if you want to go run, pass, pass, you know, if you want to, you got to change the narrative. Run, run, pass is not it. Maybe at crucial points in the game, it felt like that was what happened, but that was not the standard as the way they were running the offense by any stretch. So that narrative is absolutely broken. So please, please, please don't perpetuate run, run, pass because it's just not true. It's not supported by the data. Right, Case?
Yeah.
Don't you have any data to yell? No.
No, not at the moment. No. And overall, so far this year, I've been happy with the run game, what they've been able to do in the run game. It's not quite perfect yet, but, I mean, we sure did get more out of Adrian Peterson than I was expecting to, so.
Yeah, God. If we had last year's Matthew Stafford plus the Adrian Peterson we've had this year, can you imagine the damage this offense would be doing? Mm-hmm. And Kenny Beck. I mean, it's all, you know, ifs, ands, or buts, or what ifs, right? But no, looking good. Let's talk a little bit about Kenny Galladay, actually. Came back, didn't do the long verticals. Obviously, his hammy wasn't 100% based on how he was. A lot of crossing routes for Kenny, right? A lot of crossing routes to try to get him open, and a lot of them worked. It was he had a good day. He had some really, really good catches. Talk to me a little bit though, Case, about receiver depth. Tell me about, I mean, we got Kenny back. Hopefully this week he'll be even better and be able to go vertical and be a threat and put Marvin Jones into his better position that he plays, or playing, you know, the role that he fits in better. Depth right now.
I know you guys talked about Marvin Jones a little bit with one of the callers after the game, and that he hasn't exactly been blowing it up on the stat sheet this year. But I think it's, you know, I think you guys may have overstated the issue a bit. I mean, we're still only 3 weeks into the season.
Are you saying you're a simp for Marvin? Is that where we're at?
Right. I am going to simp for Marvin. Yeah, that's what that I mean. Is true. Okay. But I always do. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, he still comes through in the clutch multiple times, you know, when you need him. I think that he has not seen as many looks from Stafford because they've been trying other things, but that's the good thing about where they're at right now with the receiver depth. And I'm not talking specifically wide receivers, but the receivers in general, the running backs, tight ends additionally in that group, and, you know, Jamal Agnew being out there doing his thing too, is that we don't have to force the ball to Marvin Jones now. There was a time when we had to get the ball to him a lot because we didn't have anybody else. And now, like, I can't say what I said earlier about struggling in the red zone, but moving up and down the field, they don't need to rely so heavily on those contested catches from him. Those are dangerous plays. And that's, you know, it's a contested catch for a reason. If they don't need to make those, then don't try to make those. They're doing a great job. And you said, you know, you mentioned Kenny on crossing routes. They've been doing a good job with the tight ends, getting, you know, scheming them open. If you can move the ball up and down the field using those kind of things, you don't need to go to your, you know, perimeter receiver who isn't necessarily the fastest guy in the league and doesn't necessarily get the best reception separation. I still would like to see them go to Marvin a little bit more in the end zone, because, like I, you know, we all know that he comes down with the ball when it's a jump ball situation almost all the time.
Yeah.
But those are still, like I say, those are dangerous throws, because obviously the DB is always going to have much better chance at either, you know, knocking it away or, heaven forbid, coming down with the interception themselves. It's nice that we have the depth we have at receiver right now, because we don't need to rely on it. That's all I was trying to get at.
That's all?
Yeah.
No, I think it's good. I think Kenny and MJJ make each other better. I just think the two of them, both healthy, make each other better because of the role they play. And I think Marvin has been missing Kenny with the depth that they have. Just because they are the guys that give us the help. Hull has been helpful a little bit, but he's not as much as a threat. Remember Corey Fuller,
mm-hmm.
when he could, you know, he could outrun anybody, but he was never a threat. He'd just be standing down the sideline by himself, just running sprints, right? Nobody covered him because they didn't care, because they knew he couldn't catch the ball. So these guys bring a real threat. I want to talk about Kerryon. Have you heard the name Kerryon Johnson before?
Maybe.
He's very quietly having a really good year, and he's doing the stuff that isn't super flashy, doesn't get the headlines, but anybody would want their teammate to be a Kerryon Johnson out there. Kerryon has been really, really killing it, playing a team game out there. Number one pass protection running back in the league right now. This is from Mod Abs, by the way, in the subreddit. And oh, by the way, while he's doing that, he's knocking down 4.4 yards per carry. That's pretty good. He's not getting a lot of carries. He's not doing a whole lot on the field, but he is out there making a real difference. And I think you're going to see Kerryon break out a little bit as the season goes on. You're going to see him. The thing about Jesse James yesterday was he was an absolute surprise. You talk about guys that aren't getting covered. Nobody thought Jesse James would ever get the ball, because he didn't. We've been playing the long game here for over a year, not throwing the ball to him. Right? We're setting Kerryon up for the same kind of a thing in the right kind of time to have a really, really spectacular game. And the other team's going to have to figure out how to adjust to him. And when they do, then we'll have our adjustment from that. So I think this is a really good setup. Kerryon's been killing it out there. Really, really knocking it down.
I'm very much excited for the Kerryon Redemption Tour, because... Yeah. I've always been a huge fan of his, and I always really liked the way he ran the ball.
Greasy.
Obviously, the poor guy just couldn't stay healthy, and that's, you know.
Yeah. And this year, I remember, like I said, when I go to August, I think about where people looked at this year and said, boy, that first four games, if we walk out of that 1-3, I'm going to be happy. We're going to win the Chicago game, but we're going to lose Green Bay, Arizona, and New Orleans. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously. And so we lost against Chicago, and the world was on fire. It was over. Then we lost to Green Bay, and the world was on fire, right? It was absolutely over. And then we won to Arizona, and it's like, well, you didn't really win that game, but, you know, they lost it. But whatever. And like, people are in this weird spot. We're going to come out probably 1-3, maybe, if things go well, 2-2 into the bye. And we'll talk about the schedule coming up. I looked ahead. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Kerryon Johnson, really, really good. Jim Young in the chat. You're right. This visor is so fly. And where do you get it? You go to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com, and you get that superstar looking visor and all the kind of goods you want. Any team, college or pro, any sport. Fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com takes you right there. They give us a little kickback with everything you buy, but it's the real stuff. Licensed, high quality stuff. It's the same people that run the Lions store at the Silver Dome at Ford Field. Great stuff there from Fanatics. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. All right, going. Got to get to special teams coverage. All right, ready? Okay, got to go really quick on the offense. Sorry, there's another thing to talk about. Swift. Swift needs more touches between the tackles. We keep hearing this. People keep hitting it. What do you say? Where's your head at, Case?
I think Adrian's doing a great job. I think it's a smart idea to continue our running back by committee system that they're using right now. That's not to say I don't want to see more of Swift, and I think we will see more of Swift. And I think there's a good chance that as the season progresses, we'll see one or another running back sort of featured in a game. And obviously, this all changes if there's an injury to one of the three, because then the other two are definitely going to see their touches increase. But
touching you.
Sorry. Couldn't miss it. Couldn't miss it.
Clay Travis had called that Sweet Caroline the white people national anthem the other day. I thought I really can't stand Clay Travis, but I did think that was funny.
National anthem is funny.
Of course I want to see more of Swift, and I think we will. But I don't think there's any reason that we need to force him into a larger role when we have other guys performing so well. So.
I tell you, yeah. And the thing is, I you saw his eyes on the sideline after getting hit in the back with that pass. And you just absolutely know it's his fault, right? You know it's his fault. And he just...
That was a brutal one.
And then after that pass that he dropped, right, as a rookie, and then Detroit and the hate and everything that's going on. Detroit has a way of breaking sports players, right? I don't want to put too much on Swift too fast and break the poor kid. This kid's going to be good, and he's going to be good for a long time. Let's let him grow at his pace. Adrian's doing great work on the ground. He's doing fine. Kerryon's doing a little bit. Swift will get his work. Swift will get his work, and I guarantee by the end of this season, you're going to see a whole lot of Swift gaining a whole lot of green. I just let's let him get some successes, because if he doesn't get those successes, I feel like we maybe want to kind of sit a little bit with him and let him kind of ease himself into it rather than have multiple failures. Because boy, he seems to really, really take those to heart. And it's another guy who is having, I think, you know, when I see him, and I'm reading, you know, what I see in his face and so on. But it's a guy who's not used to his body, not doing the things that he needs to do and not working the way like he should have been turned around for that pass. Right. He doesn't not do that. That's not who he is. And he's a little bit in his own head, I think. So Swift is going to be a great player. We just got to bring him along a little bit mentally to fit with that physical gift that he has, or those physical gifts that he has, and get him to really, really bring it home. All right. Let's see. Let's take a look. Moving on to special teams. Do we need to say anything about Jack Fox other than boom, baby?
Oof. I mean, we were so nervous coming into the year about the punter position.
We have a punter on the practice squad. Why? Why?
Yeah. Why? We were nervous, man. We didn't know what we had.
It's like boom every time, right?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of, oh God, that was one of the more annoying calls. I do want to talk to Blandino. Dean. The next time he comes on the show about what the hell that was about reestablishing yourself after you, I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like being out of bounds.
Well, like, but I've heard, you know, like if you're literally touching the end zone when you touch the ball. Yeah, totally. 100%. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't.
That's just like
that was new to me. And I did not. I still don't know if that's actually a thing or if they just like decided that was a thing in that moment. So.
No. It's based on the same thing of reestablishing yourself after being out of bounds. You can't be the first player to touch the, like you're a gunner running down the sideline and you pop back and, you know, you get blocked out and you come back in. You can't be the first one to touch the pound.
That was applicable to the end zone.
You have to establish yourself. Yep. So I get it. That was a real ticky-tacky call though. I didn't like that at all. That was, they don't pull that crap. We've had enough ticky-tacky in our life. In our lives. All right. I do want to hit really quick. Talk about Matt Prater. Matt Prater was awesome. Ripper Snapper. Also Muehlbach, of course. That's his Transformer name, Ripper Snapper, since we're all into that in Detroit with Babytron and Megatron and all the other Trons. All right, I want to talk about overall. And there's a narrative that's been happening and going on. And I just want to kind of get in front of it. Again, this is my second use channeling of Ash, because he does such a good job and doesn't have the time to write. So he kind of just puts his thoughts down really quick in the Slack for us. And I steal the good ones because that's who I am. The whole idea that Kyler Murray lost the game and the Lions defense didn't win it It's wrong. Okay. And I'm going to take a couple of points that Ash made. And I'm going to share them with you. First, on Daron Harmon's interception, the pass rush got to Kyler Murray. Jamie Collins hit Murray's arm as he was throwing. He caused the ball to sail, and Harmon made the play on the tip. 100% great defensive play. That's not Murray playing badly, just a great defensive play, period. Collins' interception, that was him reading the quarterback's eyes and jumping the route. Okay, yeah, Murray stared Fitzgerald down, but it's a definition of good defense and a key against the team's offensive scheme in particular. When you're playing Arizona, you got Kyler Murray, he does that. He tends to stare people down. Watch him. Watch his eyes. You get on it. And so what do? We get all over that first read. So well coached, well played on the defense on that one. It wasn't a perfect throw. No. But Collins still had to make the play, and it wasn't a throw to nobody, which some people have said. It was just slightly behind the receiver. So Jamie Collins, good work there. Played it right. Did the right thing. It would have been easy to not have been in position to make that based on a whole number of things, but Jamie Collins was. Good work. Okay, Okuda. Talk about him, his pick. It's exactly what you want a corner to do on that play. Hopkins kind of let the ball come to him. Okuda jumped the route. Coverage was good, and he stepped up, made the available play when the receiver gave up on a contested ball, and that was it. Hopkins got lazy there. That was basically what happened, and that's the end of the story for him. Three great picks, well played on the defense, took advantage of what was given to him, and were in the right spot on the field. So here it is. Nobody intercepts a perfectly thrown ball, and no quarterback completes every pass. Murray had a tough day, but great plays by the Lions defense won this game. They punished every mistake he made, and that's all you can ask. This was not Murray losing the game. Kyler Murray didn't lose this game. The Lions played really, really well. This defense did a good job. This is a step up that we've been looking for from these guys. And like I said, the offense played good enough to win it. I don't remember the last time we controlled the clock like that. Walked down the field, controlled the clock without a bunch of, 30-yard passes trying to sail it in short time. We just managed the clock, walked it down, set up the kick, kicked it and won it, and walked off the field happy. That was well done. That was well managed, well coached, well played across the board, all three phases of the game.
Yeah. I'm just glad. I remember last year just getting absolutely cooked by Fitzgerald. Now, granted, Hopkins had a solid game, against us in terms of receptions and yardage. But last year when we played them, Fitzgerald was just on a tear. It was like 114 yards and a touchdown on 8 receptions, and they couldn't stop him, especially late in the game. It was nice to see them that, and I got nothing. I don't think anybody has anything but respect for Larry Fitzgerald, but it was just. It was nice to see us not get completely destroyed by him again. So.
Yeah, Fitzgerald and Hopkins, what a dynamic duo, right? I mean, that's just incredible. So, we did good. This team, surprising. I did not expect them to win. And on second watch, upon further review, they played very well. Great team game. All right, I got to talk really quick about St. Jude.
This guy needs a and I'm going to find him and just give him a big
Adam. Thank you. Thank you very much, my man. $20 from the Patreon. Adam, you are the rocker, man. Thanks a lot. Really, really appreciate that. That's awesome to get that kind of support. AKA, recognize me. I recognize you. I see you over there playing the guitar, Stafford. All right. That was cool. That was really, really cool. He's going to get his name on the front page now with that $20 donation. Okay, let's talk a little bit. I got feedback from my I don't want to say the most critical department, but it's the ombudswoman of the show. My wife constantly watches and makes sure I know where I screwed up. And boy, it's a long list every day. And then we get to the show, right? I mean, it's something. But no, she's great. She treats me really good. But one thing she said is, I'm really not getting the idea on the St. Jude. I know you're raising money for him, but help me understand better what this whole St. Jude fundraiser is, how it's going to work and all that. So I'm going to go through a little bit of an explanation for everybody here, because it's a really, 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 really big deal. So I'm going to put up, we got a new flyer built out. You see that there, Case? It's very nice, isn't it?
I sure do.
Got to give my man Payne. It's not T-Pain, but I'm sorry, not 2 pints. It's 2 pints, not T-Pain. 2 pints. Got to give him credit. He did this for us. Really, really great work. He's doing some other stuff for us as well. You guys are going to really like St. Jude Charity Fundraiser. It's Christmas for the Kids. It starts off, it kicks off on November 6th. We're going to do a 24-hour show, Case and I. 24-hour straight podcasting. We're going to do it live via YouTube like we usually do. It won't be an audio show afterwards for downloads. Don't worry about all that. Ain't nobody got time for that. But, yeah, we're going to put it, and we've already started to put together a lot of people, national and local celebrities, to be on the show, join us. They're going to bring items for the auction that'll kick off on the 9th, and I'll talk about that auction in a little bit, but a lot of merchandise, signed stuff. We've already got two Kenny Galladay jerseys signed, showing up, ready to go. We've got some other stuff, some national stuff coming in. We've got some players coming in to talk. We got some stuff from them signed, some really, really good stuff. Colin, thank you so much, man. Appreciate all the work you're doing in the background, drumming stuff up and players and stuff. I'll talk about, we're going to see Dan Miller, Jim Brandstatter, and Tony Ortiz back together again for the first time since the last broadcast together, and the first time that even Jim and Dan are going to be together since their last broadcast on the Lions Radio Network. We're going to get some great behind-the-scenes stories from these guys, what life was like. Tony alluded to it a little bit on Friday. He's like, if you can make it work, and by 5 p.m. Friday, I had commitments from all three of them. It was great. They went to St. Elmo's in Indy, and oh my gosh, you talk about the funny stuff. Tony said, he said, just let me tell you, it's the first time I got in trouble for my expense report from the radio station. So this 24-hour podcast-a-thon, the idea is every penny from Super Chat is going to go to St. Jude. It's like a telethon. We're raising cash. We're going to have a lot of people come on, a lot of players, national celebrities, all that sort of thing. And they're going to talk, interview, give us all kinds of great stories, just like we heard from those guys. It's going to be a great, great piece. And along the way, they're going to bring some great items to donate for the auction. All right. After that, the auction's going to kick off on November 9th, and it's going to go through December 18th. The hope is that we can get the items out in time if you want to give them for Christmas gifts or, you know, holiday gifts, whatever else. The charity auction will run, and all these things will be going to the highest bidder. We'll do some other fundraisers along the way, but the podcast-a-thon kicks this whole thing off and gets it all started, and is really where we're trying to, you know, get that big bulk of the cash donations up front and give you guys some really, really good access, because we'll be doing phone calls to national and local Detroit celebrities. So there's a lot of work going into this. It's a long sled we're pushing. We're trying to get to 25K this year. All right, we got almost 7,500 last time, and it was thrown together at the last minute. We're really getting some real stuff down here. $25,000 we want to raise, and we need you guys' help to do that. All right, so we'll hop on that. We'll make that work. The St. Jude Charity Fundraiser. Did you understand what I said with all this and how it works, Case?
I wasn't listening.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. We'll move on. This is big. I love doing this for the kids. Christmas for the kids. Yeah, the whole St. Jude thing.
I'm happy to be doing it. I just wasn't listening.
It's
to you.
One of those highlight things. Not mine. It's one of those highlight things in being able to do something like that. You know what I mean? To put it together. So let's move on. King Tangerine Uno in the subreddit. He put together a poll, Case, that you found quite riveting, and you kept jumping up and down. I want to talk about it, Chris. Let me talk about the poll. So here you go.
I just didn't want to forget about it.
Here you go. It's all you supposed to do.
And he posted it, and it's got 0 points on the subreddit. I think it was, you know, I want to say it looks like it was posted about 15 hours ago from right now, 5:06 p.m. Fire Patricia now or wait and see week 3. And he's been doing polls after each game on whether to fire Patricia immediately, let's wait and see, or no opinion. And not super surprisingly, after week 1 loss, there was a 39% of people said fire immediately. After the week 2 loss, it bounced up pretty significantly to 66.2%. So that was people. I know that people were very upset. So I'm not really surprised by that at all. But then one win later, and I don't have the percentage here. If somebody wants to break down the math, they can. But it's 74 votes for fire Patricia immediately, 176 for let's wait and see, and 14 for no opinion. So let's wait and see is it's got to be like 70% of the vote or something like that. It's just funny to me. It's just interesting to me how fickle we are as fans. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to necessarily say anything bad mad about fans having that kind of reaction, but it's just interesting to see it play out on a week-to-week basis. You know,
the extremes, when, right? How
right,
they shift.
The extremes.
Yeah. So. And if we beat the Saints, all of a sudden it's going to be crazy. And you know, people were so mad. And this is the thing I've been trying so hard to help people. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be mad at the Lions, right? It's okay to disagree with people why they're bad or if they're bad or if the coach should go. But just treat each other with respect. That's all. Don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. That's all.
I think the only thing that I've seen that has made me shake my head a little bit
only thing.
Is
let's see this one.
is some comments saying, "Oh man, I wish they hadn't won. Now we have to keep Patricia around." Or
they're really
the one
dedicated
that
to that Chicago loss anger.
Right. The one that I saw that really amused me was somebody saying, "Well, man, if they make the playoffs, they're going to have to keep Patricia." Like, are you? if the Lions make the playoffs, and I'm not suggesting they will at this point, I sure hope they do. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, some possibility that could, you know, happen in a little bit here. But, I mean, Leopards Ate My Face. If you're, anyone's not familiar with that, you're saying that that's a bad thing if the Lions make the playoffs with Patricia, because then they'd want to keep him. Like, do you not recognize how absurd that statement is? But I know there are some people out there who, no matter what happens from here on out in Patricia's career, no matter what happens, they could win the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. And there is still going to be a faction of people who want him fired because he hurt their feelings through the first couple of years. So,
yeah, that first news story. There's people who haven't recovered from that. That was just the rehash of the history that it didn't move anything forward. Here we are, what are we, 3 years later? Nothing. That story did nothing but hurt the if you know the alleged victim and the alleged perpetrator, because who knows if it's true either way. No one was better off because of that. And all it did was wreck the welcome of a new coach to Detroit, and it's been just a incredible, terrible time since.
And I'm gonna find him,
hey, Kevin,
and just give
you,
him
brother.
A big
Kevin showing up with $6 via Patreon. All right, brother, thank you so much, man. Really, really appreciate the support. I would love to see Patricia win here to kind of shut that down and kind of put that all the stuff that he took in place. If he doesn't, he doesn't, right? If he moves on, if he doesn't do it, he doesn't go. And that's why we created, this is a really good segue, the Detroit Lions podcast, Meaningful Games in Decembometer. This will help folks have a visual, because remember, we were told last December what it was going to take for Matt Patricia to remain a Detroit Lions coach. Do you remember what the phrase was? It's in there. It's snuck into the graphic case. Come on.
No, I can't see the graphic. It's too small.
Meaningful games in December.
Oh, yes, yes. And how vague that is.
Oh. Sandman. Oh, God. You kill me, dude. You kill me. $5 super chat. How much to sponsor a 24-hour block? We'll talk, man. We'll talk. My guy. So where are we? Well, we're on the clown's right ear, right? We're moving towards the middle because we're almost even. I did not have this prepared. I had to, after the game, and literally I waited till after the game because I wasn't quite sure. I had to prepare and redo this because I had it set for a loss. We're moving away from tank and moving towards the near miss of the playoffs. Meaningful games in December, I think, as we said before, 7-9 isn't going to cut it anymore after the start of the season. Although, you know what? If we do a run for the rest of the season, 7-9 still doesn't do it. But I look at the schedule. I think there's a lot of possibility here. Let's talk about that schedule difficulty. We got the Saints coming up here, right?
Yeah, that's no easy one.
That's a breeze. Get it? So after that, we have the bye, and that's going to get a lot of people healthy, get a lot of people
that's
back.
That's a tough one, too.
Well, I think we got that one covered. we'll call it a tie. Yeah. so we get through the bye week, but with the guys getting healthy and the rest of the season really looking easier. I mean, if you walk through the schedule here, it gets I don't want to say easy fast, but boy, you talk about a lighter load. It starts off with Jacksonville, right? And that's, I don't want to say that's easy, but they are definitely not the team they were supposed to be this year. Jacksonville is not at all looking great. From there, you go to the Falcons, another winless team, right? Not looking great. The Colts, we'll see. We'll see how they do. They're
Are tricky to figure out right now. So
the Vikings, the winless team, who isn't going to practice this week, and may not even play.
We're going to talk about that. We'll get to a round of the division.
Washington football team. We should have no problem with those efforts. The Panthers feels winnable. Feels absolutely winnable. Panthers at home. Texans at home. That's interesting. That'll be an interesting game. We'll see how that goes. And then at the Bears. Packers at home, a couple tough games. Titans away, that's going to be a tough one. Buccaneers at home and Vikings at home. I mean, there's a shot here. This team is 8-8. Now what do you do?
Right? Yeah, that's, I mean, those last five at the games. End. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have those last five games, and any of those five could be very difficult. A lot. I mean, the Buccaneers haven't quite hit their stride yet. The Titans are a very good team. The Vikings also haven't hit their stride yet, but I would be surprised if they're not playing better football by the end of the year than they are right now.
Can you imagine being, I mean, I don't know. When we do around the division, you tell me how people are reacting to the Vikes, because I got to imagine if in Detroit, the place would be on fire right now. Mike Zimmer, their cap hell, the whole thing, whew, they've got a lot to account for over there.
Yeah, they do.
I thought maybe they'd be in trouble. They were in a little bit of a hot seat before the season started, right? And now with how they performed, whoo, that doesn't look good. All right. You got to beat teams in your division. That's how the football works. But the other part of it is there's an extra wild card this year. So what do you do? What do you do if you get in at 8-8?
Yeah, I mean, an 8-8, that's what I was going to say. I mean, an 8-8, there's a very real possibility of an 8-8 team making it as a wild card. I think more likely you'll see a 9-7 or 10-6 team get that last spot. But
I'd say 9-7 or 8-8 are going to get that last spot.
I'm trying to remember. I had looked it up, and I think over the last few years, I think it would have been a 9-7 or 10-6 team. But I mean, it's certainly within the realm of possibility. So
sure. Hey Don, thank you so much, brother. $2 super chat. Love that, man. That's cool. Appreciate the support. It's helps out a lot. And we need, you know, if this is actually a really good time, if you want to go back to the St. Jude thing, get that set up so you can send that super chat if you haven't sent one yet, because there's a little bit you have to set up with your card and all that other stuff. That way, when we get to St. Jude, you can just wrap that thing in there when we have the guest of your choice on there. So there you go. All right. Thanks, Don. Really appreciate it, man. Okay. Want to get into a little bit about injuries. I saw it flying by in the chat, and we wanted to keep you waiting. Jaron Curse, safety. Eligible to come back. Get the snot out of your elbow there, buddy. Yeah. Now, here's something interesting. Not only is he eligible to come back, but his Twitter got deleted today. And when I say got deleted, he deleted it. His Instagram is still alive. But, what was it that I saw?
He's just
on his
trying
Instagram?
To stay out of trouble, maybe? I don't know.
I think he's just trying to avoid all the talk, everything that's surrounding the team right now from fans and people and media. I mean, you saw what Terry Bradshaw did on Sunday. With his hot take, not that it's necessarily a hot take, but I just think it's way too early. What do you think? Jaron Curse is back. That's going to help, right? To have a good safety.
I mean, I think he's just depth safety. Like, I know that a lot of people seem to be pretty excited about him, but I think I mean, I don't expect to see him stepping in and playing a ton of snaps unless somebody goes down, but who knows? Maybe he's got more in the tank than I think he does. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's only started, you know, I think like five games in his career. I had it pulled up and I lost it. But it isn't like he's been, you know, a major contributor where he's been. He's just a guy as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Curlingus, and I gotta say thanks for the super chat last show. I went back through the show and did some work, and I saw that I missed yours when I was doing it. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it, and I'm sorry that I blew it. Flounder, oh wow, thanks, man. That's really cool. we got that for you. This one's for you, Flounder.
This guy needs a And I'm going to find him and just give him a big f-
There you go, buddy. Curlinga says Terry Bradshaw should have been replaced years ago. Save that. You might see him on the St. Jude show. He could tell him himself what you call it. All right, there you go. All right, that's the look at the injury piece. There'll be more. We get the injury report when we do the Friday show, so we'll break that down with you guys. Again, thanks a lot, Flanders, just for that, man. All right, really quick, I got to tell you about Amazon. You guys are all shopping at Amazon. It's time to get your costumes. It's time to get all the good stuff. You want to get looking good for Halloween. Why? But you guys aren't shut down, are you? We're wide open here. Phase 3 in Florida. It's time to party and pass out candy and go get drunk and all that kind of stuff.
How are you enjoying the party atmosphere down there right now? With the lightning and everything going on.
It was elbows and a-holes last night down. They call it Thunder Alley. I call it Thunder Road because I want to call it like Greece, right? But yeah. I was happy they won. People were out there. It was big old party. Just a giant party. They had a good time. I quit drinking a little bit ago. Just
Joe, did you
on the phone.
we really appreciate it. If you just tuned in, we just talked about it.
Thank you, Joe, for the $5 super chat, brother. We did. You can DVR this. You can actually scroll backwards on it. We just like 5 minutes hit it. So J. Ron Curse on the impact. We'll let you know. Don gave you a 2-letter answer, though. but thank you, man. Really, really appreciate it. Oh, where was it? Oh, yeah, no, I quit drinking. It's just a short-term thing, guys. Don't worry. I'll be back in form real soon. But no, the party atmosphere is great, I guess, for people who get to party. So we'll get there. All right, real quick, got to tell you. Yeah, anyway, back to Amazon. You're getting your Halloween costumes, right? You got to get yourself set up. Start thinking about some of the other holidays coming up, too. You know, you got all that going on. You're going to Amazon. You're picking all that stuff up. They have great costume selection, great stuff, great, and just about anything you need. Over at Amazon.com, but don't just go there. You want to go to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Why? Because Bezos doesn't pay taxes, and we do. That's right. We're supporting your schools. We're supporting your bailout checks. We're doing the whole thing. You want that $1,200 check? You go to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com because we pay our taxes. You take that money away from Bezos that he doesn't pay in taxes and give it to us and we'll pay taxes on that and help this country
careful
move
paying
ahead.
Taxes is a political issue these days.
Oh God,
we need to be careful,
but it's generally thought to be good citizenship to pay your taxes, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we're paying our taxes. That's it. We're good citizens. That's all we're saying. We're not trying to do politics. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Take a good read and make it bad. Just call me up. I'll do it for you. All right, let's do a preview of the Lions versus the Saints right now. This is a big game. I would have said, you know, I said in the Friday game that I knew the Lions were going to pick up one of the next two, and they wound up I thought it would be the Saints game. They picked up the stupid the Arizona game. This game against the Saints is winnable. I think this is absolutely winnable for the Lions team. I think this win against the Arizona Cardinals, who are a great team. They're a very, very good team. Like I said, the three teams we've played so far are 8-1 record combined. We beat a good team, and we did it with good play. This is maybe the thing that this team needs to take the next step. Talk about this game, Case. Give us some matchups. Give us your thoughts on
well,
how the Lions are going to play together.
I would agree with you that they are beatable. On the other hand, I think they played the Packers a lot better than we played the Packers 2 weeks ago. So that has me a little bit concerned. I think that it took some buggery by the refs to end up costing them the game against the Packers. But they have some things going for them, really. I mean, they are a good offensive team. I already talked about Alvin Kamara in some detail that he terrifies me. So, I don't know. If Michael Thomas is healthy and playing, he's going to be another real big experience for Okuda. And I could see that being problematic for him. I think it's likely to be a high-scoring affair. Because I think we can score on them, maybe not quite as easily as Green Bay seemed to be doing, but I think we could score on them. I wouldn't be surprised to see the scores in the upper 20s, lower 30s. I would be surprised if, barring a, you know, complete collapse from the Lions, which obviously we have to always accept as a possibility.
come on. We took a step this week. We took a step forward as a team.
No, I'm just saying it's a possibility. I would expect another close game. I think the Lions are headed for mostly close games this year, although I do think that this is probably one of the tougher games left in our immediate, you know, near future. So,
yeah,
I could see this one going either way. If I had to bet my life savings on it, I would probably put it on the Saints. But if I could hedge that bet just a little bit, I would do that too. So,
okay, you're a hedge. All right, no, I don't predict to win, but I think this is an absolutely winnable game for the Lions. And I'm going to tell you, if the Lions win this game, it's the kind of trajectory that you absolutely, where you can put a stamp on it at that point, right?
Yeah.
If the Lions play them close and still lose, I think that's still a really good kind of trajectory piece as to what we have on this team and where they're going from a quality standpoint, right? We'll see how things go. We'll see how things look this week. This will be a real important kind of bellwether game for what this team is made of and who they are for the rest of the season. We got a little bit of you know, the bye week and a couple of easy, I don't want to say easy, but absolutely winnable games after that, which aren't going to tell us as much, right? So how we play this game is just as important as whether we win it or not. So that's kind of,
we need to do a better job on converting third downs, although I do think they did convert several, but that's one of the big disparities we have with the Saints, and that's one of the big disparities we have with allowing a lot of teams to kind of get away with stuff against us in short yardage situations. The Lions only have 16 of 40 completed third down conversions, while the Saints have 17 of 37, which, I mean, I guess that isn't that far of a disparate situation, but they really, hopefully we can make more third and short situations and not always get a holding call on third down or a false start or, you know, whatever, because those are cause us major issues.
Sean in the chat has a really good point. Hopefully Trufant is back Sunday, coming from Atlanta.
Yeah,
he's faced Breeze and company for years, and that actually may be really, really helpful for the secondary to have him in the locker room to talk about what they're looking at. We'll see. This will be interesting. This will be very, very interesting, this game against the Saints with the Lions. All right, let's do that thing where Case kind of winds up and he takes us
around the division.
Don't fuck around.
Oh God, I love that. I love that. I really do. I could listen to that for...
I would have headbanged today, but I get a little bit of a headache, so...
You're up at 5 a.m. I believe it. You've been working hard.
I was up at 3 o'clock this morning, so it's been a long day. But yeah, no, let's start with the woeful Minnesota Vikings. And to add insult to injury after a brutal one-point loss in a game that they looked like they had for a good chunk of it, they have to suspend their in-person training this week because three Titans players tested positive for the coronavirus. So because they were in contact with them, both teams had to shut down all in-person stuff. And this is absolutely fascinating because we almost had to know that it was going to happen eventually, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's an inevitability. Although I have to go back and say the NHL, I'll do it in English now. The NHL absolutely nailed it. They absolutely just killed it with their bubble and the way they pulled that whole thing off. Through the finals,
NBA's been doing great too.
Done. Yeah, NBA's done it. The bubble just doesn't work for the NFL.
Too many people.
Yep, too many folks. And too much money.
So,
too many players or money didn't have too much, I don't want to say too much power or control or push or whatever back, but it's just a different ball of wax.
Okay, so here's the fascinating thing to me is I don't know, you know, yet what the protocol from the league is, what exactly these teams have to go through if those three players just have to be quarantined. And obviously they have to test every player every day or something like that, or twice a day. I don't remember what it is exactly, but I mean, every other player on the team is getting tested. So if those three players are quarantined, and if the Vikings players don't turn up any positive cases, are they good to go like on Thursday? You know, are they good to return to practice Thursday? Are they good to return to practice Friday? Are they, I assume they're not going to like cancel the game, but that also begs the question, what if they were forced to cancel a game? Is that something they reschedule for later in the year?
Hold up. So they test, right? It takes 5 days for incubation period, right? Wasn't that what it is, about average 5 days or something like that? I don't want to give anybody wrong information here, so I know it's right around there. But so it's Monday, Tuesday, they find out, right? So that takes them till Saturday or Friday. If they all test good, let's just kind of look at it like this. During the regular season in a non-COVID year, if somebody has the flu and can't play, they don't play. The game still happens, right?
Yeah.
If you have three guys sick, they just play. If you have five guys sick, the game still goes on. Sorry, you got the flu through the locker room. I think the games continue as long as the team tests out at a level. Now, how many
people? That's what I mean, but what if there was like a...
How many people?
What if there were 20 players on the team that tested positive, you know?
Right. And what that number is, I don't know. I'm sure the NFL has one.
Do they just have to forfeit? Or are they rescheduling?
I bet they play at the end of the year.
Just have to trot out.
End of the year, they'll play it. It'll be bye weeks before the playoffs.
It'll just be interesting to see if that scenario ends up having to play out at any point. But
we'll see.
I mean, I don't want that to happen, but at the same time, it's just kind of a fascinating scenario that we've never seen before. So
and then it makes planning like for Senior Bowl and everything else really crazy, right? Because all that stuff will then get pushed around, because that's all based on, you know, Pro Bowl, Senior Bowl, Super Bowl, all that stuff. So we'll see. So there's a lot of stuff involved. We'll see how that works out. But I think they play. Titans, different story, right? How many guys is it? Eight guys is the last I think I saw on the Titans.
Oh, I only had heard the three, but
yeah. Anyone in the chat, if you want to fact check me on the fly, I guess this is the night for doing that. Go ahead and hit me up really quick, and I think I saw eight right before we went on. Titans, that may be a different, that may cross a threshold of too many players. I don't know what the NFL's threshold is, but three guys, five coaches, there it was, that was the eight number. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, we'll see if they play, we'll see what that means. And it's interesting.
Okay, three players, five coaches.
Yeah, it's a set.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
And it's okay.
I wasn't listening to you again.
And Brandon, Brandon's absolutely right. Are you listening? Brandon's absolutely right. This is why they expanded the practice squad. So we'll see how they fill those players in. We'll see what they do with it. Definitely going to be interesting to watch this play out. For a team that absolutely didn't need it, a week of no practice for the Vikings, that really sucks for them. Right. I mean, that would be an absolute lion situation, right? That would, before Jacksonville, it'll be the end of the bye week. Everybody's fine. Then all of a sudden they got sick. They did something over the bye week and now they can't show up for Jacksonville. You know, you're missing like three of your top players or something. That's just the Lions-y thing to do.
So the other thing, sorry,
keep going. Keep swinging the bat.
Okay, the other thing with the Vikings I just want to mention, and if you didn't watch any of the Vikings game, I would recommend going and finding Justin Jefferson's highlights. He's scary. That kid is their first-round pick this year, wide receiver. He's a frightening player. I will say he had a showboat on a play that was, to me, would be worrisome if a Lions player did it. Because I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct, because he started dancing before he even got into the end zone. I don't love to see that stuff from any player, frankly, just because I start to worry about that, the mentality that goes into somebody doing that, and whether or not that person's ego is, you know, if their ego is unchecked and that kind of thing. I even worry about Kenny Galladay sometimes. But I don't think he's ever done anything like what Justin Jefferson did on that play. So like, if I'm a Vikings fan, which I'm not, thankfully, I'm doing much better, but I would be nervous about the future of that particular young man and whether or not he's going to be a team player forever. I do think he's extremely talented, and I think they're probably happy they got him. for the time being. But I could see that. I could see that relationship eventually ending poorly.
I got to give Mike Hodges a shout out really quick. He just painted the blackest of pictures, the black pill here. The Lions would miss a week of practice before their first playoff game. That's our kind of luck.
Yeah. That would be the week our guys got sick.
And Sean with 2020 isn't over yet, Mike. Don't even put that out there. Don't even put that out there. Oh, my goodness. Okay, continue. Sorry,
I do think, but before moving off the Vikings, I do think that they will improve as the year goes on. They're still struggling majorly with their pass protection. And I don't know that they have a great answer for that, but they're going to try to shuffle things around. They should at least find different ways to alleviate it or distract from it, that kind of thing. So I am surprised that they're 0-3. They did look good through most of this last game, and I thought they were going to beat the Titans at several points in the game, and it just didn't. You know, it went the other way, and obviously we've seen the same thing happen to us too. Mm-hmm. But I do think they're a better team than their record would suggest. And I do think that they will be a tough team to face later on this season. So,
yeah. So Vikings, you feel like you're still going to see that Vikings and Bears swap.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, starting off 0-3 after all the resources that they pooled into going all in this year is not a great look. So if they depression sets in for them, it could spiral out of control too. Like it is at that spot. And Mike Zimmer has not, I wouldn't necessarily say he's been on the hot seat before, but there have been times when people started questioning him. And if this season were to completely get out of his control, I think he gets one more year for sure. But he might be in major trouble if that were to happen for the rest of this year, if he wasn't able to get this team under control and, you know, and at least finish with a, you know, respectable 6, 7, 8 wins. So,
yep. I have to go back really quick. I'm sorry. I'd hate to be jumpy all over the place.
Go ahead.
We got info from Sandman. He's got coverage instructions for Michael Thomas. I don't know if you heard this part from you. You were there for it. I'd cover Michael Thomas with a spilled 7-layer dip on the plane steps. Do you remember that reference? Do you remember that reference? You don't? Okay. That's a good one, Sam, man. I'm with you. I got you. All right, go ahead. Take us back around the division. You got to listen to every show if you want all the inside jokes. Case.
I should say that Vikings fans around here are pretty depressed, which is always a nice little boost in the arm for me. The Bears are a fraud. They're a fraud.
Yes, they are.
They're an absolute fraud. I mean,
their GM is too. I can't believe how much he took them for.
I mean, they played decently against the Giants, but the Giants are one of the worst teams in the league. Absolutely one of the worst teams in the league. Worse than the Lions by a long shot. They beat us, and we all remember that, and that game could have and probably should have gone the other way. It was not the Bears were fortunate that the Lions completely imploded. And that had they had all those injuries and the ejection and all that, all the random bizarreness that added up to that, they somehow managed almost the identical situation this week against the Falcons. I think that was the most frustrating game for me to watch all weekend. Because I mean, the Falcons, it almost was a carbon copy of our week one game against the Bears,
mm-hmm.
where we had them on the ropes and then just like made stupid decisions and couldn't execute and tried to throw the ball instead of running the clock out, which I'm not necessarily saying you should never do. Right. I'm just saying that throwing it three times instead of milking some clock to get yourself in to put the pressure on them was a mistake. They obviously, if you haven't heard, they benched Trubisky and Foles as their starting quarterback for the time being. I think that's a good decision for them, but I don't think it's because I think Nick Foles is a very good quarterback. It's because Trubisky is so terrible, of course, except for 5 minutes against us. They are living a charmed existence at the moment, and I do not see that continuing as their schedule gets much more difficult going forward.
And I don't disagree in the least bit with what you're saying there. I think that they're in a place that they don't belong, and we'll see that go. Detroit fan man nailed it. Vikings coach Zimmer can't get fired. Imagine how unattractive the Cousins contract looks to a potential candidate.
I mean,
who are you going to recruit for that?
Well, that's not going to,
because that gives us the better shot at the top coaches, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, like I say, I don't think he would get fired this year, no matter how bad they were, but he would certainly start feeling a hot seat next year again. Because he was borderline on a hot seat. I think we talked about it several times last year, the year before, and you know, all these things. We've talked about how Mike Zimmer can at times be overrated. And what exactly would he have to do? Anyway, that's
neither here nor there. History, is that what you're gonna say?
But, yeah. Right. So moving on to the Packers, scared of what the Packers have been able to do without Davante Adams.
It's incredible. They have outperformed anything I thought they were going to do this year.
Sure.
Holy crap, what a powerhouse this team is.
And to see Lazard step up, they absolutely needed a wide receiver to step up, and it sucks that they had one do it. I was banking on that. They wouldn't have anybody but Davante Adams.
I do want to just really quick do the old, because I don't often do this, right? I'm not the kind of guy that takes care of myself in front of other people, but I picked up Lazard as a flex play over the week, and boy did he score a lot of points.
Very nice.
Thank you. Very for nice. Stepping up. Thank you very much. Thank
what's
you
your record?
I think I'm 2-1 in both leagues.
Sure. I'm 1-2, but I have the second highest total points for in the league, so I've just kind of gotten hosed a little bit, but I think that's still a strong like position to be in going forward. So
the dynasty league we put together in the Slack, I'm a little nervous about Ash and Wisco's teams. They're pretty well put together, hoping that the injury bug comes along like it has for me. I mean, I'm fielding a team, and I've got a great team. I built my team for like year 2 and 3, really, with the players I grabbed, and I think I'm in good shape. But right now with the injuries, I don't have a single guy except my backup quarterback scoring points on the bench because they're all hurt. So we'll just see how this plays out. I'm a little nervous against those fellas because it's bye weeks and everything else. Yeah. So, okay.
All right.
Yeah,
so like I said, I'm not sure there's too much else to say about the Packers other than we made fun of the Jordan Love pick, and I heard Mercedes Lewis on the radio today talking about how, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers doesn't need motivation. He wakes up motivated, that kind of thing. But like, I mean, he's playing the best football he has in the last few years. And you have to wonder if that isn't a major factor in him, like a renewed vim and vigor, you know, for the game. He's no longer feeling safe. I also, people always talk about how coach and quarterback combo should get better in year two, but that doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks that it's happened here.
I think,
because I was not a strong believer in Matt LaFleur, but unfortunately he's been doing a hell of a job this year. So
yeah, the only thing we can take away from this besides FTP is that the only love in Aaron Rodgers' life is Jordan. So we can rest comfortably with that, knowing that he's a miserable, terrible, horrible person. All right, does that get the around the division done? Y'all good with that?
Yeah, I think that's everything. That's everything I could think about.
That was good stuff.
So,
are you going to go to sleep?
Yeah, I'm going to make mashed potatoes and then I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah, this is just training, my friend. We got a 24-hour show coming up. Really quick, want to tell everybody about the merchandise. Don't forget to check out the merch store at the Wicked Detroit Lions Podcast.com. You don't have to type in Wicked, it's just Detroit Lions Podcast.com. Head on over there and the merch store. There's some great t-shirts, phone cases, mugs, travel mugs. All kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. We're going to be adding more stuff as we get going. If you feel like helping us out and doing some shirt designs, we love it. We'll take it. We will take it. And we will show you the future of your work on everybody's chest around town. So you can do that for us as well. But head over to the DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Merch store is up on the hamburger button if you're on your phone, or if on your computer, just click on merch store at the top menu. And there's all kinds of great stuff there. That's also on the site there. That's where the auction is going to take place. So it doesn't hurt to get taken care of on that stuff. Question, Mike, do we have a meme of Chris cracking up on draft night yet? You know something? I'll go back and find that and put something together on the Jordan Love pick. I will absolutely do that because I can feel it bubbling up inside already just thinking about it. That was really, really a great moment. All right, with that, we're going to call it a show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you all for telling your friends about us. That's the best compliment you can give, is telling your friends about us. Remember, the show needs your involvement. Use the comments on the subreddit to give us the feedback. We take it seriously. You had some great conversations this week with some people, and we've already made some changes as a result. But use that, and then don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Donate as little as $1 a month, gets you into the Slack. You can donate way more. We have different tiers and all that kind of stuff. And it helps the show get rocking, rolling, and keep on going. So patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Check us out on the Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast. And on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Case.
If it's going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my D in the mashed potatoes.
All right. We will see you Friday. You're right, Chris. Thank you very much for bringing that up. We have our pregame show absolutely on Friday with Tony Ortiz, T.O., and Jeff Risden. A lot of love for that show. It's a good little quick rundown ahead of the Lions game. Good stuff. And, of course, the postgame show with who else but the Sandman Andy on Sundays. All right, give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Also, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time, so be good to each other. No pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time.